Hi, thanks for tuning in to Northern Transmissions. Glad you can join us. We appreciate you listening as always. This week, I had the chance to chat with Andy Chase of Ivy. I was really, we had a great in-depth conversation about the making of the record and the history of the band. So let's get into some music right away from a track off their brand new record, After Hours. This is the track, How's Never. The origins of the band are pretty interesting. We first talked about this, including the fact that singer Dominique Durand had never sang before with a band.
Yeah, no, she never, ever. She, she had impeccable taste in music, and if you met her, you just assumed she was doing something in the music world, because she looked cool. She had great taste in music. She had just, you wanted to know all the bands that she knew, and I hadn't heard of half of them. And I was the guy in the band trying to get a record deal. And it was actually when we got married We got married very, very young. And but at our wedding, you know, all our friends were musicians, and everyone was performing.
Right.
And they were all writing songs for us. So I said, come on, you know, we should be really funny, like Bonnie and Clyde, me and you get up there. And she's like, I'm not a singer, come on. And I said, I know, but it'll be even cuter, the fact that everyone knows you don't sing. So I was just learning how to play guitar at that period. And so I wrote a song. It was out of my range, actually, to sing. And I said, look, this is a perfect song. It's like in a girl's range. So she sung the main part, I sung the harmony, and we performed at our wedding. And then, of course, everybody said, oh, you should start a band. And, you know, we sort of laughed. And they said, her voice is really... But when we got back to New York a few weeks after the marriage, you know, I said, we should record that song and probably a couple other more serious ones just for fun. So I got her drunk in the studio. And, you know, the whole time she was saying, no, 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 you know, it's really... but I convinced her because I said it would be a good, I said it'd be a really good present to give our parents, like a recording of us properly, and they can hear your voice. And I was just becoming friends with Adam Schlesinger, my bandmate at that time. And I called him up and I said, look, you know, my, Dominique just sang on this little demo that I did. You want to come play bass? And he came, and he was actually the guy who heard it and said, you know what? You guys should take this seriously. And he put bass down, and you know, that little silly demo tape made it to the record company's hands, and that became our first EP.
That's an amazing story, you know, because considering how many people, like, try to, you know, bands and stuff, musicians try to break into the music business. I mean, not only, like, Ivy, you know, became very, very popular, but at the same time, I don't want to, this interview is about Ivy, but Fountains at the same time has had a great career. I mean...
I know, it's just unexplainable. And when you try to give advice to people, you know, how did you start? It's, how do you explain that? How do you explain how to start a band? I mean, I used to go out looking for snakes all the time. I was obsessed with, you know, I wanted to be a herpetologist when I was a kid. And every time I went on hunting for snakes, I never found a single snake. But every time I was, like, walking on the path with a friend, or we were, like, going to play soccer, all of a sudden a snake when I least expected it. That's sort of been the analogy for my life. You know, it's things happen when they're not supposed to happen. And when I've laid out all the best intentions, they don't happen the way they're supposed to.
Sorry, what was the first song you guys sang at your wedding? Just out of curiosity.
You know what? I don't even remember. I can't even remember. It was a song we had written. It was kind of making fun of the fact that she and I had lived a kind of a Bonnie and Clyde existence. And so it was making some references to Bonnie and Clyde. And because she had had immigration problems, we had, you know, I had hit her in the trunk of my car once. We were going through Arizona at a what turned up to be, you know, I thought it was an immigration stop on the highway, but it was only for vegetables and fruit.
Oh my goodness!
Made her get in the trunk anyway. So by the time we got married, we had all these adventures, and so the song was something about that. But it didn't make it on the EP. That was there were three or four more songs from that exact same period that we recorded the same way as that wedding song that ended up being on our EP lately.
I hope you're enjoying our interview with Andy Chase from Ivy. If you want more information about the band and tour dates, you can check out their website at www.ivy.com or their MySpace page. So that song we just heard was Distant Lights off the new record After Hours. Andy and I chatted a little bit about that and the production of their new record.
The single Distant Lights, what was the decision behind that one for the single?
Well, it was the song that we went the most into outer space with. It's the least Ivy-like, and yet strangely somehow the most indicative of what the rest of the record is going to sound like. And it didn't make sense putting it anywhere other than first, so that it could make a statement to everybody that, one, you know, we've been gone, we're back, this is not what you're going to expect. Here's an example, here's our first song. But the way that the song morphs from the almost, how would I describe it, Greek discotheque intro into what becomes a very familiar Ivy chord, Dominique's voice, you know, within a minute of the song. And it's, that song was an amalgam, I think, of everything that was indicative to us of being new on this record, and so we put that song first and foremost because of it.
About the new record, All Hours, I think you kind of approached it, if I'm not right, from a different way, more of a textured and building on rhythms rather than, I guess, you used to compose a lot more on acoustic guitar, if I'm not right.
Yes. Traditionally, either me or Adam or together, we would write something on an acoustic guitar and bring it to the three of us, and then that would get fleshed out in a studio. And we just felt like we wanted, one, to make a simpler record, and two, make a record that went back to our roots a little bit, like our love for the 80s. And Adam and I both started as keyboard players before we learned guitar. We were keyboard players as kids growing up. And so this record, we just thought would be fun to tip our hat a little to the 80s, focus more on our keyboard abilities, and start with drum loops and drum beats rather than songs written on acoustic guitars, or even in this case, songs written on the synthesizer. Really just start with a cool drum beat and then find that one keyboard sound that would be fun to play live, that would, you know, sound like some of our favorite 80s bands. And that's kind of the record that we made. We wanted to keep it simple, and we were thinking of some older references like the Tom Tom Club, even the Clash, you know, things that were simple and kind of raw, but also dancey and still had some synthesizers.
After Hours was the first album from Ivy in quite some time, quite a number of years, actually. So I asked Andy what it was like to get back on stage together and make music again.
We were all thinking that it was going to be quite strange because it's been 5 years.
Right.
But we forget that this is our sixth record, and we've been playing together since 1994. So it's like an old friend. It's the same analogy. You know, if you grew up with somebody and you haven't seen them in 10 years, you may be a little, you know, have some trepidation about seeing them again, but within 5 minutes of sitting down, you realize these old friends, those bonds never go away. And within minutes, it feels like you've never left. And that's what it was like. The first song was a little strange and surreal, and by the third or fourth song, we were just looking at each other on stage and smiling, and it seemed surreal that we had not been doing this for 5 years because it was so familiar.
Did you ever feel that Ivy was a fait accompli at some point? I mean, like, you and Adam are, I mean, both constantly busy with different projects.
I think that Dominique had more of a premonition that our last album might have been the swan song, and she even made some intimations about that live at our last show in New York, and I think that was of November 2006, our last show. And she said something on stage that made some people blogging and, you know, talk about, was she serious? Was Ivy actually breaking up? And tell you the truth, she wasn't even sure, but she wasn't 100% sure that we were making another record, put it that way. And we you know, we almost didn't. I mean, we worked on and off, but not very committed for a few years after our last album, after In the Clear, and thought we might have a finished record around 2008. And we got together after not having seen each other for about 6 months and sat down and listened to what we thought might be a finished new Ivy record. And we were just horrified to have this epiphany that it was terrible and totally unusable. And we threw the whole thing out. And at that moment, that was 2008, we really did think maybe that was it.
I noticed you guys also, you released a lot of different things in Japan. Do you have a much bigger fan base there, or...?
We have a fairly big fan base there. We have roughly the same amount of fans in Japan as the U.S. So, you know, a smaller country. So it's kind of an important market for us, an important country for us. And but we released. It's not because we have more fans or because we prefer Japan that we release different songs in that market. It's more that Japan has a problem with imports coming into their country. So what happens is you'll release your record here, and then right away your record comes out in Japan. But for some strange reason, the U.S. version of your record that finds its way to Tokyo is cheaper than the Japanese release. So everybody just buys the imports. They buy the American version. So to kind of put a stop to that, the Japanese labels more and more like when you put things on their version that make it collectible and give the Japanese fans a reason to buy their domestic version rather than buying the U.S. version. Uh-huh. So that's why traditionally we've put, you know, bonus tracks and unreleased tracks and things on the Japanese releases to make it more attractive to the Japanese.
Okay. And do you find the fans there, like, more passionate about their music than, like, over here or in Europe?
It's all the same. There's cultural differences. So, in a way, the fans there are less... There's less physicality in how they show their enthusiasm. You know, they're a little bit more reserved culturally. So, what you really take away is what you can read, is the way people express themselves in email. Because if you meet a British fan, they may be jumping up and down and screaming, and you meet a similarly excited Japanese fan, and culturally they're not going to do the same thing. So they're covering their mouth, they're bowing a little bit, they're more demure. But I think that they're all just as supportive and enthusiastic in their own way, and you really get that from you that kind of comes through their emails.
And let's check out one more song from Ivy off their latest record, After Hours. We'll listen to the track World Without You. Before that, I'd like to thank everyone for listening as usual. Thanks to Andy Chase for the great, insightful interview. Thank you to the ace producer, engineer extraordinaire, Andy Kalstrom, as usual, doing a bang-up job. And if you want any more information about Ivy, please go to their website, ivy.com, or their MySpace. If you want to contact Northern Transmissions, northerntransmissions@gmail.com. Stay tuned for our brand new website, which is coming soon, and also Twitter us at Northern Trans. Thanks again.